This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Oh. That was a really nice performance.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
It must have been a very irresistible opportunity for you to play this character. Did you know much about him before you took this on?
No, I knew he went to Syracuse. I knew he won the Heisman, and that was it. But people keep asking me, oh, what attracted you to the role? I'm like, man, what didn't attract me to the role?
Did you do a lot of research? What was the research for you?
Mostly just watching film, game film, actually, because there's not much media on Ernie. Gary gave me a disc of Ernie speaking for the first time, like, a month before we wrapped. I still haven't heard it, so I haven't even listened to it.
Now, you played a wide receiver. Was it much of a sort of head trip for you to go from wide receiver to running back?
It's football at the end of the day. If anything, I was like a kid in a candy store, because playing receiver, you know, you're on the perimeter, you're on the outside, you're on the island, so to speak. You run a route, you know, you got to run your route. Guys got to protect it. Got to pick up blitzes. Quarterback has to make a great throw. You catch the ball, and that's it. You play running back, you get the ball, you know, you got the ball in your hands for most of the time. It was a lot of fun. I kind of thought, like, why didn't I play running back?
There's a huge difference between playing football in real life and obviously playing football in a shooting football scenes in a movie. What were the biggest challenges for you in still being adrenaline charged on film, take after take?
No, we played. There's the differences were in the game today, as opposed to playing ball 45 years ago. That was a difference. So a lot of guys lead with their head these days, you know, or their chest. Back then, people used their shoulder more often. So Coach Alan Graf had to stress things like that. Little things like if I was to score today, I'd give my friend a high five. This movement didn't exist back then. People didn't do this, all these chest bumps and stuff. So things of that nature were different. But playing, it's just football. You coaches say things all the time, you know, no disrespect to Saved by the Bell, but we're not trying to make no Saved by the Bell football movie here. We're trying to get it cracking. So we, in a lot of ways, we just played. We had a lot of guys who are basically Division I ball players. A lot of SC guys, because Coach Graf, he's an SC guy. He wears his ring all the time. And his son played center. He's like, I'm Carson Palmer's center, things like that. So we had some real deal football players, and football is, or at least I hope, looks pretty real. Looks great to me.
How about research? Take any real hits?
Whenever I could, I'd try to stick a shoulder in somebody, or you know, try to do something I wasn't supposed to do. I was told very early on that I couldn't take any hits because that would jeopardize the, you know, production. If I get hurt, you know, we're messing up. So I did as much as I could, and then, you know, up until they said no and brought in one of four doubles I had.
Yeah. How about research on Ernie's family? Like, did you talk to any of Ernie's family at all? Or?
No. First time I met them was in Atlanta at a screening. And I didn't know they were going to be there. And Ernie's nephew stood up and basically, mind you, my heart was pounding. He was satisfied with the film. So, in a lot of ways, we were trying to just capture Ernie's spirit and Ernie's essence and not worry about an impersonation, because, you know, there's not that much of a blueprint out there because he's not in the media and he passed away so early. So we just wanted to capture his spirit and still maintain his legacy without disrespecting his family.
With the emotional stuff that you had to do in this movie, because it's a very, you know, you have very emotional moments, were they more challenging for you than the physical football sequences in a way, as an actor?
Yeah, football is football. That's all fun for me. But either way, I just wanted to be prepared. So whenever I work, I just try to be as prepared as possible. You know, even for auditions, I just like to think that I'm so prepared that I have to book it.
Right.
So I treated this, you know, no different. I just wanted to be prepared every day at work.
Ernie had a kind of father-son relationship with the coach, ultimately, Coach Schwartzwalder. And I'm just wondering, working with Dennis on this, what was your relationship like, you know, on and off the screen? How did you guys get along?
Similar, because, you know, he's a more tenured guy, so I just try to soak up as much knowledge as possible. And whenever I had a question, I would just ask him, and he was very, very responsive. In a lot of ways, it's a father-son relationship because, you know, just because of where he is in his career and where I'm at now, I have a healing blister on my thumb because he took me out with Dr. Gross and Jim Boeheim to the golf course last week. You know, I'd never played before, and it's a wrap for me now. I'm hooked. So,
how'd you go?
It went well for my first time. You know, I think I got a knack for it. I double bogeyed a hole. I had a chance for a birdie putt. It felt good. So I think I'm gonna get after
yeah,
it.
Yeah, give it a few more games. You'll start hating it.
Really? All right. I'll keep that in mind.
What do you find most inspiring about Ernie's story?
Most inspiring to me is just his effect on people. There's people my age in Syracuse, even last week when we were up there. There are people my age, I'm 24, with anecdotes about Ernie that were passed down from, you know, their parents and so forth. And it sticks with them till this day. And it's like, well, how could this guy who passed away at such a young age make such a huge impact on people? You know, I think the most inspiring thing is the fact that people look at him as such an example. They ask themselves, what would Ernie do? You know those bracelets, the what would Jesus do bracelets? Now, blasphemy aside, that's the kind of impact he had on people. People would think about things and say, well, what would Ernie do in this situation? I find myself doing that, you know, even up until this point. I think I'm more mature as a function of getting to know Ernie a little bit.
Is it more daunting for you as an actor to play someone who actually did exist at one time, who's no longer here, so that you can't really draw?
It was a gift and a curse as an artist because there was no blueprint to go off of. That was kind of a curse, but it was kind of a gift because there's no blueprint. I get to kind of do what I want, and I have the flexibility to be an artist. So, you know, I think the thing that's daunting is just the responsibility associated with the role to him, his family, to Syracuse, to the Browns organization, to Jim Brown. Definitely don't want to get him upset. But with that responsibility, you know, I took it on because I figured it was a dream role, and it was an honor to walk in his shoes for a minute.
Did you meet Jim Brown?
Yeah, last week for the first time. I spoke to him over the phone a few times.
Is that scary? Shooting.
Yeah, but, you know, I was like a kid in a candy store. I got to meet Jim Brown, you know. So when I met him, this is right before a press conference, I kind of had to bottle up my emotions because, I'm too cool to be like, Jim Brown, in front of all these people at a press conference.
Now, do you look at life a little differently, knowing that Ernie's character, you know, oh, he died at the age of 23, you're 24. How does that make you look at life right now?
I turned 23 while we were shooting, so I put that in proper perspective. That definitely affected how I approach things, and I definitely had that life is precious approach, and I needed to be dedicated and fully committed to the role, you know, keeping in mind that, you know what, you know, I could not be here right now. So that goes along with the maturity I was talking about that I gained as a result of getting to know Ernie a little bit.
What are you working on now? Do you
have anything? Nothing. Nothing.
So you didn't start anything else after you finished this?
No.
Golf.
A golf movie.
After I finished this, I had another semester of school to get done. So I got my degree. I walked in May. So that was my next project.
What's your degree in?
That's done. Psychology.
Oh,
do you want to use that? You do use psychology as an actor, though, don't you?
Yeah.
what university?
Amherst College in Massachusetts.
One of the most poignant scenes in a movie was the talk about the white girl talking in the movie. What was that like for you? Because the director spoke highly about that scene, as did Charles Dutton, and that it was the honesty that you portrayed, and the listening was the part to watch as opposed to the dialogue that you had between them. What was the preparation, Michael? What was the mindset you were in that particular scene?
That reading that screen, that definitely would strike a chord, you know, especially if you're a black male. So Gary just stressed, you know, don't play the end of the scene at the beginning of the scene. And that's something that if you read it, it'll piss you off. And, you know, I just didn't want to go in there and get there too early. And that was all. Other than that, you know, I knew what it was. So I just didn't want to, you know, as Gary says, play the end of the scene at the beginning of the scene.
What do you think audiences will get from this film, emotionally?
a lot. What I want them to get is just general knowledge of Ernie. You know, I just want to generate that interest of Ernie, because everyone knows about Jackie Robinson. Nobody knows about Ernie. I didn't know about him, and I played college football. In a lot of ways, he's responsible for whatever success I had, you know, as a college athlete. And Amherst is not the most diverse place either. So, you know, I felt kind of embarrassed that I didn't know about him. And I just want people to know about Ernie's story. And you know, it's kind of like a lost history lesson.
Was it true that he wasn't able to go to certain places on campus? Did that come up in...
You know what? I doubt that. Because the way he looked at everything, he looked at people as if that, as if race didn't exist. He joined a Jewish fraternity. Okay, that's crazy. Let's think about it. So, and there was resistance, definitely. Like, there was a... he got in due to a voting, you know, I guess, loophole, and he had to be accepted because... He was just the type of guy that you had to, you couldn't deny him. You couldn't deny him like you couldn't deny him the Heisman. Like,
what kind of perspective do you have as a young man who was born after the Civil Rights era, and then going back and having to encounter it, you know, through the movie? Did he give you any kind of perspective that you didn't have before?
Yeah, and basically it's like this: stop whining. So things I complain about today, being put in that situation on set, it's like, man, I really have nothing to complain about. So I just feel as though if Ernie could overcome those odds and such adversity, you know, in the late 50s and throughout his life, then I really have no excuse. You know, I should succeed despite any adversity I face today.
Ernie was always running to something, never from something. I think that's a line from the movie, and that's great. Is that how you try to live your life?
Well, that implies a lot of ambition, and I realize I'm an ambitious guy, but I take things as they come, you know, for the most part. I think I went after this, you know, so vehemently because I just identified with it, you know, upon reading the first 10 pages that, you know, I read this script like 3 years ago, and I was just on people, what's going on with it, what's going on, what's going on with it, you know, and That's a long time to you know, think about something and for it to come, you know, finally come into play. That's huge.
Why did you decide you wanted to study psychology at college?
Well, in high school, I thought I wanted to be in it. Well, just typical. You know how it is. People figure it out when they get to college. You know, you think you want to be an astronaut, and then after a while, you know, you're a geo major for whatever reason. That's just how it is in college. I guess that's what happened. I started out wanting to be an engineer, and then I was taking computer science. I figured I'd want to do that. Shut that down once I got to school. Tried econ. Didn't like it. Shut that down. Then I realized all the psychology courses I really liked. So let me just stick to what I'm drawn to.
As someone who played the game, and Gary mentioned this, that sometimes you watch sports films, particularly football films, you see cats that you know can't play mm-hmm. the game. Have you ever seen any of those films and just kind of went like, eh? And were you happy to kind of be in this situation where you did have some D1 players around you to make it look a little bit more authentic?
Yeah, definitely. But you know, it's, you're not fooling anybody. It's we're at the point where if you make a sports movie, you can't just cut to a ball going in or cut to somebody making a catch. You can't do that anymore because audiences aren't going to respond to that. So, you know, I'm glad we got Coach Graff on here, and he talked a lot about SC, but I'm glad he had those guys around there, you know, to make the film look good.
No,
I'm not. It's just crazy. The SC guys are just like, okay, I know you went to SC.
I was going to ask you, what did you enjoy most about making this film?
I can't pick any one thing because it's a tough film to make. They don't make films like this all the time, and the conditions in Chicago were such that sometimes it made production a nightmare. Just trains, planes, and automobiles, and sirens. A lot of sirens in Chicago, and I thought that was just a you know, being a psych major, I just thought that was a function of the Chicago fire. You know, they still have that mindset, like, oh, you know, anyway. sorry to go on that tangent, but it was a hard film to make. So, you know, much like football, which a lot of people say is the ultimate team sport, because if one out of those 11 guys screws up, you jeopardize the integrity of a play and ultimately of the success of the team. You know, you got the whole crew working on this, and for it to finally be here, you know, I'm just glad we got the film made and that it's coming out, because people worked hard on this film.
Well, go ahead. I was going to ask you, when you were up in Syracuse, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of emotion going on the night of the premiere, and people that have known him and those who have grown up admiring him in that area. What was there anything or anyone in particular that came up to you that night and said something to you that just, you know, or was it just kind of the whole experience of being up there in, you know, surrounded by 40,000 of his closest friends and admirers? I mean, what stands out for you about that night?
Again, nothing. It was the whole time was crazy. The whole time we were up there, it was pretty surreal. I guess I didn't know what I was getting into. And honestly, that weekend did it for me in terms of, you know, talk about how much money the film will make or whatever. That money will be spent. The film is forever, and you know, people around Ernie who are close to Ernie, they think we got it right, and that's all that really matters. So, you know, I'm satisfied. I'm good.
Making a period piece like this, does it make you look at football differently today? You know, whereas you have your athletes bringing Sharpies on the you know, on the field and things like that, does it put you in a different perspective to appreciate the old game of football, or does it turn you off from the football away from what it's become, you know?
No, I definitely took that mindset. You know, old school coaches, a lot of my coaches would say things like, when you come on the field, don't walk, run. And that's the mindset I kind of took, because it's Ernie Davis. You can't just be slapping around with your helmet off on the field. That's another thing. Don't take your helmet off on the field. I don't know if anyone's from Cleveland, but Dwayne Rudd did that a couple years ago, lost a game. He was celebrating, took his helmet off. You know, that's just disrespect. It's a rule that's in the rule book, but no one calls it, because it's like, you just don't do that. So I kind of looked at the overall culture of the sport, and I really wanted to respect it as Ernie did. You know, down to shoelaces being tied. If my doubles were sagging something, hey, man, tuck that in. You know, don't disrespect the game.
Wasn't there some issue with his statue at Syracuse because they put Nikes on him?
Yeah.
And the mask, the helmet was wrong?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was bad. And I watched Jim Rome. You know the show Jim Rome is Burning?
Yeah.
Anyone know?
Mm-hmm.
I watched that show religiously. So I was like ironing a shirt, and his final burn was about that. It said Statue of Limitations. I was like, oh, man. But it'll get corrected. People make mistakes. It's a bad mistake to make. But it'll get corrected.
Back to psychology for a moment. What are you going to do with the degree?
I'm not sure. I'm not fresh out, but you know, I haven't had any just free time in a long time. I've either been in school or working for so long that I'm just going to kind of let it breathe. I might get my master's in social work. I don't know. I really don't know. I'm just taking life as it comes to me.
It's like a backup for in case you decide you don't want to act anymore, or do you want to do something else besides acting?
No, it's not a backup. It's just something I'm interested in doing. My mother's a social worker as well.
Really?
So, and you know, I really admire how she serves her community. She works with a lot of people with the virus and substance abuse people as well. Right. So, I look at that and I see a lot of good that she does, and I figure, you know what? And, you know, I can definitely use my celebrity to the extent that I could give back to my community. And on top of that, if I have my master's, people really can't tell me nothing. So
you can use to get in the heads of your characters, can't you? If you know, so you know.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
That's
really what it is, dealing with the crazies in Hollywood.
Have you given any thought to doing theater? Charles Dutton thought that great on the boards.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not opposed to anything. If an opportunity comes across, you know, I'll answer the door if it comes knocking.